Sit down, Michaela.
Yeah. Sit down, Michaela.
How are y'all? It's Friday, y'all. I have a couple announcements. So we have Campus Visit Day coming up on September 29th. That's when we have new students come and see the campus. So I need some student ambassadors for that. Requirements are 2.5 GPA. So y'all are in the second week of class, so you should still have that. If you want to really do it and you don't have that GPA, please come talk to me. Applications are on my desk. I need those in by next Friday. Also, if any of you did missions work, I know Teach did, went to Glorieta. If y'all did that, please go see Miss Liz. She wants to kind of write those down and maybe have y'all speak here soon. So that's it. Dr. Bob? Or Oren? No. Yeah, I didn't see him either.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. As you know from the many different things that Katie Vincent has shared with us, we're doing a special character emphasis all during, well, this semester and this academic year, actually. Last month, the short month of August that we had, we focused on self-control and punctuality. Great character qualities, punctuality, showing esteem or respect for others by doing the right thing at the right time. Self-control, rejecting wrong desires, doing what is right. This month, starting in September, we're going to be looking at two additional qualities. We'll look at resilience more next week, recovering from adversity. Great quality. I think all great athletes have this quality in them. But today we're going to be looking at humility, which is acknowledging that achievement results from the investment of others in my life, or recognizing that the people and the factors that have shaped my life, you know, knowing that it's not all about me, but it's about all the different people God brought into my life. And I'm here to introduce Miss Marion, who's going to be talking to us about this. And I think she's an awesome person, the right person to be talking about humility. I think she exemplifies that. If you ever want, I don't know how much you know about Marion, you know, you've seen her around. She does a lot of things around here, kind of behind the scenes for us. But the thing that really impresses me about Marion Watkins is if you want somebody to pray for something for you, Marion is a person, if she says she's going to pray for something, I guarantee she's praying for that. And so, you know, that always makes me feel good when I know there's somebody. And I know because it's always like, hey, I'm still praying for that. How's that going in your life? And that's a great quality, you know, and that's something that she exemplifies. I was kind of asking around. I thought, you know, if I'm introducing somebody, it's kind of fun to know some, you know, strange, unusual, funny, whatever things about a person, kind of getting deeper than just the person that we see all the time. So I found out a couple of interesting things about Marion. Have you ever wanted to ride a unicycle? I heard that Marion knows how to ride a unicycle. That's true. She used to. All right. Yeah. I have a brother-in-law. He rides up and down in front of my house all the time. He still rides a unicycle all the time. I thought, I've never tried that, and I would have never guessed Miss Marion to be the unicycle rider. But, you know, when you think about strange and exotic places to go to, one of those on my list would be Hong Kong. And she's actually lived 2 years in Hong Kong. And so anyway, let's give it up for Marion Watkins.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob. It really was fun when I was young and in shape. You know, I really could ride a unicycle, and I even could go up little, well, I'm from northeast Arkansas, and the hills are like, yes, you know, and it's pretty flat there. But anyway, I could go up a hill, you know, and my unicycle. So it's back when I was 10 and 12. But I just really want to talk about humility and what really is humility. And it is the state or quality of being humble of mind or spirit. But Scripture says to Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. It is thinking of others more than yourself. It shifts our focus to others and off ourself. And if there's any good in any of us, any good in my life, it's because of God and others. And C.S. Lewis describes a humble person. And he says, not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. We live in a very selfish world, and we are taught to look out for ourselves because no one else will. And we put ourselves out of the center of our world. We put ourselves at the center of our world and of everyone else's. And so I would like to read a story called The Color of Humility. And I know this might kind of sound like an odd, you know, a bit odd, but when you think of the character quality of humility, I think of crayons. And this man tells a story about he had two daughters in elementary school, and they loved to color. And to encourage their creativity, when they started school, he bought them both small metal boxes with their names on the lid and filled them to the brim with colors of every color. And although we bought all the crayons at the same time, if you opened one of the boxes today, you would find crayons that fit in three categories. The first consists of a handful of crayons that have rarely been used. The tips are still sharp and the wrappers appear new. And then the second group is the largest of the three. And these crayons no longer appear brand new. The tips are slightly rounded and the wrappers are slightly scuffed. But the final category contains the smallest number of crayons. And these are the crayons that make the sky blue and the earth brown and the night black. And of the 120 standard colors produced by Crayola, these are the workhorses. The wrappers are gone, the tips are non-existent, and several have been broken in half. And in many ways, the 49 character qualities are like crayons. Each quality is important, but some are used more than others of the 49 qualities. Humility is among the most important because it provides the backdrop for so many other things. If pride or arrogance destroys a relationship, humility is a bridge that restores it back. Isn't that amazing? Humility, the love of God, is what brings it back. And if, like, trust has been broken in a relationship, humility restores. And so humility is so essential in building healthy teams and healthy relationships. Humility forms the foundation for understanding one another, being kind and respectful and loyalty to one another. Humility is recognizing the people and factors that have shaped your life. Now, we are all not self-made individuals. Yes, effort has been put on your part, contributing to your success. Like, I know many of you are athletes and you have to practice to perfect your skill. But really, the support and encouragement and help from others is the key to realizing your full potential. We are all products of what others have done for us. And I just want you to take a moment and just think about people and circumstances that have made you who you are. Think for a moment, who touched your life? Believed in you, stood behind you, you know, just was a role model in your development. Just think for a moment. It could be a teacher. It could be a family member, a mother or dad, a pastor, a youth pastor. Just think for a moment. Who has invested in your life? It could be one person. It could be two or three. Because there's someone that has believed in you and was behind you and pushed you on. And so now, humility, so we kind of have brushed the surfaces of humility, But I just wanted to give you like a little test to check your attitude. Do I find it hard to admit when I'm wrong? And I still have that problem sometimes, you know. And do I get defensive instead of listening when people criticize me? Do I try to give the impression I never have any problems? Do I give my opinion before I'm asked? Do I enjoy sharing credit with others? Do I avoid thankless or lowly jobs? Do I react when I don't receive credit for something? And that's really something to think about, you know, like, you know, where is your attitude in that? But the wonderful thing about how, and I want to share some things how we can walk this out, but just the wonderful thing about humility is, and how can we walk this out? But, you know, I believe most of us are believers in here, and because we believe in Christ, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I mean, what a powerful, I mean, sometimes when I'm in the car, I'm driving, I think, Christ in me, the hope of glory. What an amazing thing. And so God enables us to go beyond ourselves because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We can walk this humility out, you know, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And that's just a powerful thing to go over and over in our minds as we walk this out. Because really, guys, there's really success when we walk these principles out. There's great success. And so I want to share just about four more things, and then we're going to watch a video. But be teachable. And that's really a key thing, be teachable. Not only to the people that are your authorities or selected authorities, but it is using all the different types of people in circumstances to grow and learn humility. Because sometimes it's kind of easy to be humble with your authorities or your selected authorities, but you know, God has us pushing us on to be around different types of people and circumstances for us to grow in humility. And it's a wonderful thing because God loves to push us and loves to make us grow more and lean into him more. And then number two, share the credit. When you receive recognition or reward, accept it graciously. But then also tell it was others' contribution to you that made your success. It was others that helped you. And so it's always good to, I mean, to accept the recognition graciously, but just to honor it was because of others is who you are. And then number three is serve others. Life requires a number of unpleasant and lowly tasks. And every line of work has tasks no one wants to do. But you know, the key thing is just get the job done and do it. And it just, when you just get the job done, it doesn't make it so difficult. And lastly, and I really feel this is the most important, is true sign humility is gratefulness. You know, when you think about being grateful, being thankful, is so important. And being grateful and thankful will change your world when you're grateful and you're thankful. And so we're going to show a video now, but I just hope this kind of brushes the surface of humility. And I'll be praying that you guys will all walk in it more and more daily. And not just this month, but the months following too. Okay, thank you.
Humility, recognizing the people and factors that have shaped my life.
I'm Jim Priest, Chief Executive Officer at Sunbeam Family Services. Sunbeam's a really interesting social service organization. We've been around for 110 years here in the Oklahoma City metro area, and we have four core programs where we serve vulnerable Oklahomans. And we start early with people through early childhood services. Then we move to foster care, recruitment and placement, counseling, and we do all kinds of counseling on a sliding scale. And then we provide an array of services for senior citizens. So it's a family service organization that covers the life spectrum of people's needs. You know, I was thinking about humility in the way that many people think about it. And we often think it's the opposite of confidence, that somebody who's confident in themselves is not humble. But I don't think of it that way. I think you can be confident and be humble, and you should be. I think the opposite of humility is self-absorption, being focused on yourself. As C.S. Lewis says, it's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. And so being focused on the needs of others, wanting to serve others, that's one of our core values at Sunbeam, is having a servant heart. So that's what humility means to me, and that's why I think it's important to success in personal and professional life.
We live in an age where there are a lot of people who say, you know, this generation feels entitled. It's all about entitlement and this idea that I deserve something. The response to that really is humility, because humility is the awareness that you could not be where you are if it had not been for other people who went before you. And there's a reason why we're drawn to humble people, because when we see how they view life, they recognize that they didn't get where they are by themselves. And because they are willing to bring other people with them to this great place, it makes us want to be a part of it. It makes us want to go with them. That humility is what draws people together. That's why people say humility always connects and arrogance always separates.
I think it's really important, particularly for people that are in leadership positions, to make sure that they are very intentionally and consciously sharing the credit with others. It's easy when you're the spokesperson for an organization or you're the face of the organization for people to think, well, you're doing it all. You're the one that's having the impact on these families. And really, like I said, it's the people at the front line that is. We had the head of our foster care program, Midge Woodard, was just recently recognized as one of the top 10 social workers in America. And so, you know, we're making sure everybody knows about that. It creates in the people of our organization a sense that what they're doing is not only important to them, but it's recognized. And I think that's what people find most meaningful in their work, is that it's meaningful work and someone knows that it's meaningful.
I remember hearing a phrase one time. This guy was talking about another guy and he said, you know, that guy, he was born on third and he thinks he hit a triple. And I thought it was such an interesting phrase that this guy, who has had a great life, was not respected because he thought that what he had was his and his alone. And this guy was kind of commenting on that, if he wished he'd be a little bit more humble about the situation that he was in, because it was not just because of his hard work, it was because of a number of other factors. When I think about what it means to be someone who's successful, it isn't that you are just successful by yourself, it's that other people are along the journey with you. So being humble is an awareness that the people who went before you helped open the doors that give you the opportunity that you have now.
I think asking for help is an important part of humility. I think of the famous saying by Will Rogers, all of us are stupid, just in different areas. And so none of us knows everything, can do everything. And the more that you ask for help, the more you're empowered to do as a group of people.
I don't know about other people, but I know for me that when I began in my career, I struggled asking for help, in part because I thought, you know, they've asked me to be a part of this place, they've brought me on board, I should know things. When in reality, they looked at me perhaps as someone who could learn, and they were more interested in my ability to learn than what I just knew when I arrived. I love working with people who know their craft, but even with that, they want to be great at what they do, and they never stop asking questions because they never think they know everything.
Well, one of our core values at Sunbeam is a servant heart. And so that's what we're all about, both externally in the clients that we serve, as well as internally. We want to serve one another. So we try to make sure that everybody recognizes when our employee relations department has a function. It's not just their responsibility to set the room up and get these refreshments out or something like that. We all pitch in. And my dad told me years ago when I was thinking about a career, he said, find a job where you're serving other people and you'll never have a bad day. Well, that wasn't quite right. I've had some bad days, even though I've had jobs serving others. So if you really want to cultivate humility, you turn your perspective outward and serve others and be active and intentional and looking for ways to serve.
When you think about what it means to be a success in life, the moments that you have enjoyed the most in life, I would assume they are moments when you have been serving other people. When I think about the key moments in life, when I've been able to have a moment that is in that top 10, they are often about being able to open the door for someone else, to be able to provide an opportunity for my children, to be able to express appreciation to my parents or those who went before me. I think it's important for you to take just a moment to think about it, because what you'll find is that for most of us, the great moments in life are not when we are receiving, it's when we're giving.
Remember these points, share the credit, ask for help, and serve others.
All right, did Austin make it? Austin Burroughs, nope. All right, did not. Had an announcement about C3, I guess we'll get that another time. Marion, thank you very much. I agree with Bob. No better person to talk about humility. Couple of thoughts that I have to go along. Yeah, I feel like I know that. A definition of humility, the one given today, you know, from our character first things, acknowledging that achievement results from the investment of others in my life. Yes. And I think I've heard other definitions of humility, probably some of you have too, akin to it. And, you know, words fail sometimes. They just fall short. Sometimes it's about how we receive it. What do those words mean to us? Another definition that I've heard of humility is being known for who you really are. I think that falls short too. Because there's a... You know, I can say, well, I'm just me, just imperfect me, and you'll just have to live with it because that's who I am. You know, I think that's, no, not that. There's an aspect that I always felt like that definition fell short too. There's different perspectives of who you are. Bob may think of himself one way, and I may look at him from a different, he knows himself better than I do, but you know, sometimes the hardest person to see is yourself, and others may look at him in a different way too. He's that guy that makes me get to class on time, or you know, that hard guy, or I don't know, just there's all kinds of different perspectives. But what's the perspective that matters? Anybody? It's God's perspective. Yep, Drew knew that one, got it. Good job. Yeah, so being known for who we really are, who are we really? Are we who we think we are? Do we see clearly? Or do we see through a glass dimly? Do we have perfect perspective on ourselves? I don't think it's that we shouldn't try to have perspective on ourselves. But we should be trying to gain God's perspective on ourselves. And when the Bible says examine yourselves, well, we're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us sin in our life. You know, before communion, for instance, as it says in Corinthians. But we want God, that's what doesn't fall short. If we, true humility is being known for who God says we are. So we need to be, you know, our concentration needs to be focused on becoming who he says we are, because he doesn't see through a glass dimly. His perspective is truth. He's the only one that has the true perspective. So how do we do that? And I think Marion hit on this great, that what produces humility? My dad used to take us through an exercise and say, okay, for the next 60 seconds, I just want you to think about, one thing I'd ask too is that we not be on our phones and talking with one another as we're when you're somewhere, you want to be diligent in it. It means invest your time and energy into it. So if you'll get nothing out of it if you don't attentive on it and listen to it. But so anyhow, this exercise that Dad would take us through, I think Jay's done this several times in classes as well, where the idea is just for 1 minute, you know, think about what am I grateful for? And then at the end of that exercise, as a matter of fact, we've got time to do that. It's 9:54. We got plenty of time to do that. So for the next 60 seconds, just think about, you know, C.S. Lewis was referenced by Marion, and then again in the video here. And what do you remember what that quote was from C.S. Lewis? It was, she got it in the notes. Yeah, don't exactly. Don't think less of yourselves, but think of yourself less. You know, consider others more important than we are. Don't consider, you know, think more highly of yourself than you ought. I know different translations, but, you know, but think of others. I think better of others was the translation that Marion used. Another thing that C.S. Lewis said is that when we're born, and I may be paraphrasing this because this was in a, you know, I can't remember which book I read of C.S. Lewis, but when we're born, we literally would just die if left to ourselves. Think of that. What in the world can you do for yourself when you're born? You're hatched and you're dead without God and others, right? So we need God and others. Everything we are and become, we owe to God and others. At least, it's not that we didn't play a part. Of course, we're supposed to apply ourselves as well, but we could have done none of that without God and others. So yeah, just with that in mind, let's take 60 seconds and just think about what are we grateful for? I mean, on a scale that matters, you know, what are we grateful for? Okay, while we're thinking of that, so holler a few of those out. What are you grateful for that really matters, that's God and others have done in your life, that you owe to God and others? What are some of the things that it starts with life, right? You ever thank your mom and dad? You know, you don't exist without them. They may not, I don't know what was in their minds when you were conceived, but you still owe everything. You owe your life to them and to God. Salvation for sure. Yeah. What do we have apart from salvation? A lot of these are just, I mean, there's a number of things like that are just, we have nothing without that. We have nothing without salvation. It ends with this life without salvation. What else? Yes. Yeah. Can restore and correct things in our life. Yeah. Yeah. Can turn the wrongs into rights. Yeah. And heal. Yes. Anything? What else? God or others? I mean, maybe.
I'm grateful for my family.
Grateful for your family, for sure. Yeah. Any of you, any of your families helping you pay for school? No. Some probably no, but some probably yes, huh? Any of you work with your dad or mom to start learning how to play ball at all? Grateful for that. Coaches, your past. Anyway, point being, I'm just going to tie this together right quick, these two definitions. Humility, according to this character first, is acknowledging that achievement results from the investment of others in my life. So here we are thanking, you know, expressing thankfulness, expressing gratitude for God and others, what they've done in our lives, the investment they've made in our lives. And then the flip side is, I asked the question, so how do we express that? So we expressed that this morning out loud. Okay, that's good. It's a healthy exercise. Gratefulness is letting others know by my words and actions how they have benefited my life. And the point of all this is that gratefulness I think there's an exercise to produce humility in us. And when you sit there for 60 seconds, what do you feel when you're thinking about what have others done in my life? What do you feel? I mean, how does that not produce humility in you? Do you feel like you're all that when you're sitting here thinking about what others have done in your life and what you owe to others? I think it's a very healthy thing that produces humility when we're grateful. And I would say, you know, we want to thank God for salvation. He provided, you know, Jesus provided that. You know, we want to thank our family, you know, for that, you know, for what they've done in our lives. So anyway, produces. I was writing some notes on one side of my paper. Carrie was writing some notes on the other side of my paper. So there must be someone in here who needs this. Let me address the idea of false humility being a sign of weakness. Address the false idea that being humble is a sign of weakness. Obviously not. You know, who was the most humble? Yeah, was he weak? No. Jesus was the strongest. What does the Bible say? Do you remember any scriptures about Jesus and humility? He humbled himself even to death on a cross, right? Yes. Yeah, you better say it. I'm going to say it wrong and I'll be in trouble.
As Marion was talking, I thought, in the society we live in, and she had pointed out that sometimes there's this, because of the families and the world we live in, you feel like nobody's looking out for me. If I don't look out for myself, I'm going to get crushed, run over, and obliterated. Did I say that right word? And so maybe unconsciously we've picked up this idea, which is from the devil, that humility, if I am humble, I am showing weakness and I'm going to get trampled on. And I thought, that is a lie from the pit of hell. As several of you guys said, who was the most humble being, person on the earth? That was Jesus. He is also the strongest. He is the one who saves your soul. He is the one who created the universe. He is the one that shuts the lion's mouth. And so to realize he is also the most humble, being humble is actually showing strength. Think about it. Going to the cross, the creator of the universe, the one that put every single person on the planet, controlling himself, self-control, to not call angels to rescue him from these children, these beings that he created, spitting on him, crucifying him. Yet he humbled himself and died on the cross because he knew the power of the resurrection and the salvation that was coming. And so I just wanted to dispel that notion that being humble is a sign of weakness.
All right. So gratitude produces humility. And God designs us as a body, as a family that need one another. All right? So we need one another. How many of you, I'm just ask a question. How many of you read your Bible already this morning, have spent time in the Word this morning? Bob did? Yep, several. How many, you know, I guess I won't ask how many have not. Maybe you do that later in the day, but I would certainly encourage you to be in the Word every day. A couple of things as we close here, just close in prayer. Also to say thank you. I don't see Matthew in here right now, but Katie and Hannah, y'all's yard looks a lot better in the front, doesn't it? Now he spent a lot of time trimming limbs and mowing everything, and also by the cattle guard, and in along between at the front of the Robbins Road there between Katie and Hannah's house and the road where it has the cattle guard. Yeah, it looks so much better. Grateful for that. How many of you have helped with Dean and Deb and them move, their move so far? Can I see show of hands on that? I mean, I just want to say thank you to you guys on that. Great folks going through a really tough thing. And I know this is much appreciated. I mean, how could they do that? You know, this is another example of how, you know, Dean has invested tons. Some of you know that firsthand because he's invested in your life. And now here's an opportunity for us to invest back. It's a great illustration of how the body of Christ needs one another, and we're designed as a family. We have need for one another. So thank you to those of you who have helped in that way. And Marion, thank you again for the word on humility this morning. It's great. I don't want to I want to mention that. So I was told yesterday that Glenn DeYoung has been extended yet another 2 weeks, you know, to share character into the schools in Columbia. So it's great. We'll pray for that. Part of how we close for prayer. And now I slipped my other thought, whatever it was. Oh, I know what it was. So I want to read one little thing to us that I don't want to take lightly at all. Wednesday's assembly, eight of us came to receive Christ. And, you know, I said something like last Wednesday that I'd heard before somewhere that God, and I said, if I get this right, I don't have it in front of my mind here, but God loves us just the way we are. You know, he loves us so much. He loves us just the way we are. But he loves us way too much to leave us where we are, right? So all of us, that's why we need to be in the Word. So all of us need to be growing. And so I pray that, but I also just want to read one little scripture here for us, if I can get my phone to quit shutting down that. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And let me ask one more question. How many of you have already met with your mentor? Have had mentor meetings, so quite a few. Have you been asked, other than what, I mean, not by me this morning if you've been in the Word, but have you been asked about your quiet times or talked about that at all with your mentor? Was that brought up? If not, I'd like you to ask them about their quiet time, and let them know, hey, we want to be accountable in that way, because we need to be built up in the Word. So let me just close this in prayer here. Lord Jesus, we're grateful, as was spoken and stated this morning, we're grateful for salvation. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we rejoice with the angels in heaven, all of heaven, for those who received you Wednesday among us. And Lord, we now commit, and not just for those eight, but for all of us, to growing up in all aspects into you, to be in your Word, to be fellowshipping with you in prayer, to be encouraging one another, Lord, to love one another fervently with a pure heart that we read about just now, and care about one another to the extent that we will push each other and sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. And Lord, may we gain your perspective of who we really are, and walk in that, knowing that's true humility. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that Glenn has, and we know that he is part of us. And we sent him out, and we continue with him in prayer now as he has opportunity to extend 2 more weeks and teach about you in the classrooms in Columbian schools. So Lord, we just ask you for your favor, ask you for that your words would be in his mouth and there would be great fruit that remains from that. We pray for safety and for favor for the women's soccer team that's on the road today. Lord, we do pray, join together now and pray for Dean and for Deb. Lord, I'm thankful for all those who've helped. And Lord, we continue to ask for your healing for Dean. And we ask for your help all along the way, wherever they need it. And may we continue to be useful in whatever ways we can. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. So, thank you. I think we're dismissed. Is that no announcements?